Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the KEC International Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. From the management today, we have Mr. Vimal Kejriwal, MD and CEO, and Mr. Rajiv Agarwal, CFO. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vimal Kejriwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Alaric. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the KEC International's Q1 earnings conference call. Let me begin by sharing an overview of the operating environment, followed by our performance during the quarter and business-wise updates. In the Middle East, our Dubai manufacturing facility and the execution of all ongoing projects continue to operate near normal on the ground. The region accounts for approximately 25% of our overall order book and L1 position. While tendering activity remains strong across the region, we are witnessing some delays in the finalization and award of new orders. Cash flows remain stable, and we continue to be optimistic about the medium to long-term outlook, supported by sustained investments in grid expansion, regional interconnections, grid resilience, renewable energy integration, and reconstruction initiatives. While on-ground execution continues across our sites, we continue to face challenges on the supply chain and logistics. Shipments, especially from Europe, China, and India to the GCC countries, which had come to a standstill earlier, have gradually resumed, albeit with some delays. This has resulted in slower execution on certain projects on the supply side. Freight costs, including war-related surcharges, insurances, etc., remain elevated, though they are expected to moderate over the coming weeks. This also had a cascading increase on logistics, fuel, and power costs, also in the manufacturing facilities in India. We are working closely with our supply chain partners to minimize these disruptions and are also engaging with our customers to recover these additional costs. Procurement or project execution may get deferred until customer alignment is achieved on recovery of the additional costs, resulting in revenue margin timing impact. These challenges impacted execution during Q1 and are expected to have a spillover effect on Q2 also. Coming to Q1 performance, despite a challenging operating environment, we delivered a resilient performance by maintaining revenues, strengthening our order book, reducing debt, and continuing to build a healthy pipeline for future growth. We delivered revenues at ₹5,024 crores, marginally higher than Q1 last year. We have delivered a PBT of 90 crores with PBT margins of 1.8%, and our PAT stands at 73 crores. Our performance could have been better, but for the continued geopolitical disruption in the Middle East, shortage of labor, and calibrated execution of water projects owing to delays in payments. The labor situation has started improving from June 26 onwards. Delay in legal closure of disputes / settlement of claims in transportation and metro projects also impacted the profitability. On the order intake front, we secured new orders of over ₹6,300 crores across T&D, civil, renewables, cable and conductors, and transportation business. Additionally, we have a L1 position of almost 3,000 crores, predominantly in the T&D business, which are expected to be awarded in the near future. We have a diversified and strong order book of ₹37,697 crores as on date. Including the L1 position, our order book and L1 stands at over ₹40,000 crores. On the debt front, net debt including acceptances have been reduced by over ₹150 crores to ₹6,568 crores in June 26 from March 26, supported by a free cash flow generation. This reduction in debt has also translated in a lower absolute interest cost compared to Q4 26. The debt could have been further reduced, but for the delay in realizing significant collection from Afghanistan, which we now expect to materialize in Q2, as well as higher inventory levels due to delayed dispatches from Dubai factory, as well as some raw materials storage amongst the ongoing Middle East disruptions. On specific businesses, T&D, the business achieved revenues of rupees 3,217 crores, higher than last year. The revenues could have been better, but for the supply chain constraints in Middle East. On the order intake front, the business secured orders of rupees 3,600 crores across India, Middle East, Africa, and the Americas. In India, we secured repeat orders from leading private developers, including a significant order in the rapidly growing HVDC segment. We continue to witness a robust opportunity pipeline in this space. We have already participated in multiple packages in the Barmer Rajasthan HVDC scheme and expect additional schemes to be floated during the course of the year. We have also secured a first transmission line order for evacuation of power to a data center in Western India from a private developer. This order marks an important milestone for the T&D business in supporting the power infrastructure needs of the growing data center segment. We are also engaged in discussions with other data center developers for similar opportunities. In addition to PGCIL and other private developers, we have started bidding for three new developers during the quarter. In international, we are witnessing a gradual revival in the African market, reflected in the recent win of a significant transmission line order that further strengthens our presence in the region. We have also expanded our tower supply business by securing a substantial order in the Middle East, opening up a sizable new market beyond our presence in the Americas, Australia, and Europe. In SAE, the business achieved revenues of rupees 450 crores, a strong growth of 25% year-on-year. We continue to witness strong momentum in order flows with new orders of over rupees 1650 crores for the supply of towers, hardware, poles, and engineering services across the US, Mexico, and Brazil, an increase of nearly four times compared to last year. These orders include the largest ever tower supply order from the US, reflecting the growing momentum in the American T&D market. With these orders, the order book and L1 position has been scaled up to a record level of over rupees 3,800 crores. In line with the strategy of diversifying our product portfolio and expanding into new markets, we continue to make encouraging progress. In Brazil, we successfully executed our first pilot order for mining structures, opening up opportunities beyond the power transmission sector. In Mexico, we expanded our international footprint by securing an order for the supply of structures for a solar project outside Mexico. On the manufacturing front, following the successful capacity enhancements at our facilities in Dubai, Jaipur, and Jabalpur, we completed the expansion of our butchery facility in Nagpur in Q1. With this, our global manufacturing capacity has increased to 483,800 metric tons. These capacity additions further strengthen our manufacturing capabilities and position as well to cater to the growing demand for transmission infrastructure across both domestic and international markets. The overall tender pipeline in T&D continues to remain robust across both domestic and the international markets. In India, the sector continues to offer a strong multi-year growth opportunity driven by rising power demand, accelerated renewable energy capacity addition, grid modernization, and the increasing need to address grid congestion through expansion and strengthening of the transmission network. With a robust tender pipeline, we see significant multi-year opportunities ahead and remain well-positioned to capitalize on this growth. The international T&D market continues to present a strong growth outlook, supported by robust transmission investments across the Middle East, recovery in Africa, expanding opportunities in the Americas, CIS, and the SAARC regions, and increasing infrastructure demand driven by renewable energy integration and the AI-led data center boom. Our diversified global position positions us well to capitalize on these opportunities. With the healthy order book and L1 in T&D of over rupees 25,000 crores, we are confident of delivering significant growth in the T&D business. In civil, we delivered revenues of rupees 993 crores for the quarter, a growth of 6% year-on-year. While execution has progressed across multiple sites, growth was slightly lower owing to the labor shortages arising from the election period and the delays in customer payments in the water segment. During the quarter, we successfully commissioned the Beden water supply project in Odisha which was inaugurated by the Honorable Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi. This landmark project will provide safe and reliable drinking water to 166 villages through 58,000 household tap connections, creating a meaningful social impact. During the quarter, the business secured multiple orders / L1s of over rupees 1400 crores in the buildings and factories vertical from reputed clients. The civil business has widened its presence in the automobile segment with an order from one of the India's leading automobile manufacturers, adding a marquee client to its portfolio. The business continues to strengthen its presence in the high-rise residential segment, expanding its customer base with a prestigious order in Northern India. It is also well-positioned to secure another order from a repeat customer, reflecting a strong execution capabilities and customer confidence. With these wins, KEC is now constructing approximately 80 high-rise buildings for marquee clients across the country. Our geographic footprint extends with a strong presence in markets such as Mumbai, Gurugram, Pune, Goa, Bangalore, Hyderabad and Kolkata. During the quarter, we further strengthened our civil leadership capabilities through onboarding of senior talent. Looking ahead, with the labor situation gradually normalizing, a sharp focus on execution and robust order book and L1 of over rupees 10,000 crores, we are confident that the civil business is well positioned to deliver healthy growth over the coming quarters. Our transportation business has achieved a revenue of 259 crores for the quarter. The business continues to focus on execution of the new orders and completion of ongoing projects. During the quarter, the Honorable Chief Minister of Maharashtra inaugurated the Mumbai Metro Line 2B section between Mandale and Diamond Garden, where KEC executed the ballast track works. The business has also secured new orders over rupees 250 crores in the technologically advanced automatic block signaling segment. The business has successfully implemented Kavach across 667 route kilometers and is currently executing deployments across an additional 1780 RKM of the railway network and over 3000 locos. We continue to actively pursue opportunities in Kavach, technologically advanced metro systems and tunnel ventilation projects. Going forward, our focus remains on accelerating project closures, improving working capital efficiency, and selectively pursuing high-value domestic and international opportunities to drive profitable growth. Our cables and conductors business has achieved a revenue of over rupees 600 crores, a stellar growth of 57% year-on-year, driven by robust demand across the infrastructure, power transmission, and industrial segments. We also continue to witness steady inflow of orders for supply of both cables and conductors. On the new product front, elastomeric cables are slated to commence production in this quarter, followed by the commissioning of the E-beam plant in the next quarter. These investments are expected to strengthen our specialty product portfolio, improve our product mix and support long-term margin expansion. In the renewables business, we secured new orders of 800 crores from an existing customer during the quarter. These include prestigious projects in both the wind and solar segments. We are now executing solar and wind energy projects with a cumulative capacity of over 600 megawatt. In addition, the 1 gigawatt solar projects for IRCON in Karnataka and NTPC in Rajasthan commissioned recently are operating successfully at their rated capacity. The outlook for the renewable business remains highly encouraging, driven by sustained investments in clean energy, grid modernization, and the increasing focus on reliable and dispatchable power solutions. We continue to engage with leading wind OEMs for strategic partnerships to strengthen our presence in the wind segment. With our expanding execution capability and growing project portfolio both across wind and solar, we are confident that the renewable business will become a significant contributor to KEC's long-term growth. In the oil and gas pipeline business, we have initiated the merger of a wholly owned subsidiary, KEC Spur Infrastructure, with KEC International. Post the merger, the oil and gas pipeline portfolio will be integrated into a civil hydrocarbon segment, enabling a more unified approach towards hydrocarbon projects. Going forward, we see significant opportunities to expand our hydrocarbon business across both domestic and international markets. In conclusion, our performance during the quarter reflects the resilience of our diversified geographical portfolio. While we continue to face certain near-term challenges, we believe these are largely transitory. With supply chains gradually normalizing, labor availability improving, a strong order book and L1 position of over rupees 40,000 crores, a robust tender pipeline exceeding rupees 2 lakh crores, and encouraging opportunities across both domestic and international markets, we remain confident of delivering stronger execution and improved financial performance over the remaining quarters of the year. Thank you. We are now open to take questions.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vaibhav Shah with JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So firstly, on the standalone performance, we saw EBITDA margin decline to almost 4% for Q1, and PAT was negligible. So what was the reason for that at standalone level?
As you have seen our numbers, so T&D obviously is at a higher margin, and railways and civil has been negative, and that is in the standalone. T&D is a large part of our T&D is also in the console piece, so which is the major reason why the standalone is showing a much lower number as compared to the console.
Okay, so you expect the T&D to pick up from Q2 onwards, or it should be in the second half?
There should be some pickup happening in Q2. I think the problem in Q2 is in T&D in India is there because of very heavy rainfalls, especially in Gujarat, where most of our projects are right now concentrated. But clearly, Q2 would definitely be better on standalone.
Okay. So secondly, you mentioned about the stock receivables in Afghanistan and JJM. So, what is the quantum of receivables from Afghanistan and JJM? And can you split the JJM receivables in both MP and Orissa? And how do you see the inflows coming in?
I don't have the split numbers, but the total receivables should be around 800 or 900 crores, of which around 400 to 500 are sort of overdue. Okay. Balance are, you know, pending certification, etc. So, if things happen, you know, we should be... We have been talking with everyone, including the state governments and the central governments, and the assurances that funds have now been released. So we will keep our fingers crossed. In fact, in the month of July and August till date, we have received around 110 crores or so between the two states. I don't have the exact number. I think the dues are equally split between Orissa and MP. As far as Afghanistan is concerned, we have around roughly 300 crores of money, which is... due for payment for some time, and it has to come from ADB. We have been getting repeated assurances that we should get the money. It was supposed to come in Q1. Now they have told us Q2. So I think it's a matter of time. I think if we are lucky, let me put it, that we should get it in Q2 itself. Otherwise, definitely Q3. And that's a large amount, 300 crores without any outflow against it. So that will help us in, you know, improving our debt situation, which did improve a little bit in this quarter.
So lastly, you mentioned that in the previous call that we are targeting 120 days by September and 110 days by March in terms of overall working capital. So if we receive the 300 crores from Afghanistan and another 300-400 crores from JJM, then also we to achieve that target, we need another improvement as well. So what could be that lever to reach towards that 110 days?
These two should be decent, will help us decently. Also, I did mention that we had a higher inventory level in Q1. One is partly in our Dubai factories because there was some balancing equipment, etc., which did not reach there, which have now reached. So that is one. Secondly, in our cable business also, with all the uncertainty on, you know, the plastic side, etc., we had increased our raw material, etc., and finished goods also. So now they are getting going. So I think... maybe around 200-250 crores should get sort of released from the working capital side without the debtors also. So I think we are pretty okay with the numbers what you're talking about.
Okay. So lastly, on interest cost, we have seen some reduction on a QOQ basis. So incrementally, this should be the run rate on a quarterly basis for the entire year?
No, it should be much less than that. This quarter, we had 3.3%, largely because... a lot of cash came in the end of the quarter. So while the absolute borrowings went down by the quarter end, I think in April, May, it was elevated. So our expectation is that against the 3.3% which we did, we should be around 2.3% or so for the whole year. Our total debt should, interest should be around 600 and odd crores. That's our expectation.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll call back in.
Thanks, Vaibhav. Thank you, Vaibhav.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sumit Kishore with Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Sumit.
My first question is in relation to your 25% order book in Middle East. Could you speak about the composition of this order book, the challenges that you faced in terms of execution? So excluding Middle East, what would have been your revenue growth? Just trying to understand the impact here.
So, Sumit, 25% order book is broadly, I'll say, equally divided between Saudi and UAE. So that's the basics. So when I say 25%, it's almost 10,000 crores, so 5,000 each between the two countries. Okay? Very broadly, maybe 1 or 2% here and there. Okay, that's one part of it. On challenges, we are not seeing anything significant on the ground. So project executions are going on. I think in the last 4 months, we have commissioned three or four projects during these 4 months, and a lot more is happening. I think the problem is twofold. One is the logistics costs have gone up, fuel costs have gone up, so local operating costs have gone up significantly, which is reflected in the margins. We are in touch with the client, et cetera. Let us see what happens. But since the costs are being incurred, they're getting booked immediately. That's one part of it. The second part is on the supplies. So typically, you know, 25-30% of our revenues come from supplies items. So we are seeing a significant challenge on the shipping side with the ports under, you know, attack or so. So vessels from China, Europe, and even from India are difficult to get, and then also the rates have gone up. So whatever is impacting the quality of revenue, we have been deferring it for some time. Hopefully, the situation is slowly normalizing, so it should come back maybe by the end of this quarter or so. We'll keep our fingers crossed on this. So the major impact is not on the physical execution, but towards the supplies which go into the projects.
Okay. So, essentially, revenue growth, excluding Middle East, would also have been flattish, just like we have seen on a year-on-year basis for KEC at consolidated level.
So I think the revenue growth was slightly, I'll say, impacted in India T&D and also civil because of labor in the civil side. India T&D, I think we are still seeing a huge headwind in terms of ROWs, whether it is Rajasthan, whether it is Gujarat. I think these are two major states where we are operating majorly because all the renewable projects are there, so most of our projects are in that side. So that's one issue. I think slowly it is getting resolved. Gujarat has come out with a new scheme where they have increased it twice or thrice of market value. So I hope that we will start seeing a lot more movement on the India T&D side.
Okay. Okay. On the FY 2026 call, you had indicated an expectation to grow 12%-15% in revenue terms, order inflow of 300 billion rupees, and you had not given any specific margin guidance. Would you like to revisit your guidance for the fiscal?
I think we are okay with the guidance. I think only on the revenue side, we were 12-15, so it will depend upon what happens in the war. I think, maybe 0.5% here and there, but I don't think there's anything major for us to worry because we have an order book plus L1 of 40,000 crores. So Q3, Q4 typically are good for execution. So I think right now we are pretty okay with our guidance.
Okay. And finally, in your civil segment, how much is water as a percentage of your order book now? And
I think it's. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and basically, with the headwinds or working capital challenges, what is the outlook on execution there? And particularly within civil, I think you had expressed the expectation of 80 billion rupees of order inflow in FY 2027. How much of that would be particularly from water?
We have not taken anything from water, first of all. Secondly, I think on the order book, we are roughly around 1,200 or 1,300 crores in water. So that would be, let's say, 13-14% of our order book. I think for the balance numbers, I think we are pretty okay. We have got a large pipeline, tender pipeline for civil. So we are not too much worried. There is enough and more work happening, especially on the residential and the commercial piece of it, and continued work, a lot of inquiries from the metals and mining. I don't think we are seeing too much on other sectors, but at least on this sector, there's a continuous inquiries coming on.
Okay. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thanks, Sumit. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Parikshit Kandpal with HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Congratulations on a decent quarter in a tough environment. So my first question is on the standalone revenues and the profitability. So if I do simple math, it's almost close to about 3,900 crores of revenues, and you've reported 4% EBITDA. Historically, this business had 10% margin, but assuming if we take even 8% normalized margin, so it's a 311 or 300 odd crore EBITDA, so we are shortfall of almost 150 crores. So lastly, this loss is coming from which segment within the book, order book?
Difficult to quantify which exactly, but it's primarily coming from our transportation and civil business. That's where the shortfall is coming. T&D is doing reasonably well, I would say.
But civil, sir, we were approaching high single-digit margin. So what's happening in civil now? Why civil has turned negative?
I think no, it has not turned negative. I think the issue what we have been discussing is that we have got a few old metro projects and all that. I can give you an example. I've got four metro projects, two in DMRC, two in Chennai Metro. One of the DMRC project was commissioned some time back. The second one is ready for commissioning since, I think, last June. Okay? The client has not taken over. Chennai Metro, the same thing. The project, one of them is ready for commissioning for, I don't know how many months now. And it's not been commissioned for whatever reason, because somebody is not available or I don't know what's happening. And because of that, what happens is that the client will not take over, you are supposed to maintain. So virtually, you end up spending almost 10 crores per month on each project. And all these are going in the expense account. You will make a claim and all that, but जब आएगा तब आएगा, but आज की तारीख में उसको bill करना, debit करना पड़ता है. So that's where it is continuing, and I think it's a saga which is, I don't know what to say about it. Hopefully, we are now hearing that they will get commissioned, and they are stuck for commissioning because the second part is not getting ready or something else has happened and all that. So that's where this is happening. When you say that we are going towards a higher margin, it's a fact on all the new orders are all profitable, and we are pretty okay with them. It's a question of, as soon as we are able to close the tap on these orders, we will start seeing a turnaround.
When we talk about the line of sight, so I mean, Q1 is 150 crores of shortfall. If I analyze, it's almost 600 crores on standalone. So where does it end? I mean, what is the order backlog right now from all these troublesome projects which are underfunded or maybe are loss-making? So what is the pending cost to completion? I mean, or maybe extra cost which you need to cover up? So if one has to look at which quarter down the line we'll turn profitable, move towards 8-9% standalone margins, so if you can give some color on that, will be helpful.
Difficult to give it today. And on the second part or the first part on the order book, these are not in the order book because they are all completed projects. They don't have any backlog of orders except one CMRL project which will get completed in maybe next 6 months, where we may have an order book of 100-150 crores or so. Rest of all are not there. As I said, they are completed, ready to hand over, everything is done. So they are not in the order book. I will not be able to give you exact numbers, but I do think that this quarter also, Q2 also would remain in a similar line, maybe 50 basis points here or there. But that's the way at least Q2 will be there. Q3, Q4 would depend upon what happens also in West Asia, because most of the projects of West Asia, many of them are in my standalone.
Okay. So the other part is the one thing which is there on the civil side and the transportation side. Now, secondly, the challenges which are coming up on the freight and the commodity side, so steel, aluminum, so prices are going up. So is there a case wherein the T&D business, which is supposed to be high margins, now starts seeing headwinds on the margins because of all this conflict, and they'll start reporting lower margins, and directionally, our aspiration to reach high single-digit margin gets pushed out maybe by a year or a couple of years?
T&D, I am not seeing too much of a challenge on a double-digit margin. Okay? We have, I think, enough cushions available. A lot of them are hedged already. So I don't think we are too much worried about it. Okay? T&D, I think we are okay. Steel and all that, what has happened is that the costs have come down again, especially on the plates, etc., and angles. So aluminum, yeah, we have some exposure, but I think we have enough time to look at it. Are we worried? No, I don't think we are significantly worried about maybe 50 basis points here and there. But our view is that T&D would probably continue to be in double-digit or maybe very close to double-digit going forward.
And what about the other segments, civil, transportation, others, if you
can say? They are still negative, okay? So that's where the overall numbers are under pressure.
Any guesstimates from which quarter do you think the margins turnaround will start happening? I mean, if you have to give, if someone has to hold you and give a call, then which quarter will you see the turnaround happening? So will it happen in FY27, or now we'll look at maybe towards the FY28, start of FY28, where the margin turnaround will start happening?
I think the margins will keep on inching up. Where and how they attend reach, I have no numbers to give you today. Okay? But do we think we'll get into double-digit and all in FY27? Not possible.
28? High single-digit starting 28?
High single-digit in 28 should be possible. Yes.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Those are my questions. I mean, the biggest worry is on the margin side now because that impacts the CFO and CFO.
I thought your biggest worry was on working capital, which you're not asking.
Yeah. So eventually, CFO leads to working capital, and then how working capital gets impacted. So it flows down from profitability. But anyways, I mean, that's a challenge right now that I'm not able to grapple with.
Thanks, Parikshit. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Jainam Jain with DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand how do we see the opportunity in data center EPC business in terms of competitions, margins, and what is the right to win over in that segment?
Jainam, it's a difficult business in the sense that what we are seeing is that although there are large opportunities being there, but traditionally, we are seeing developers breaking up the orders into various smaller sections, slicing it into different ways. Very few, I'll say, hyperscalers are there who are willing to give orders for your civil as well as MEP and all together. Typically, most of them break it up on the high, low, and so we're not seeing large orders coming in from most of the clients. A few exceptions are there. Right to win for us is that we can do civil as well as we can do MEP together, and that's what is being pitched. So I think hopefully we will see some wins happening on data centers maybe next quarter. The market is large, but as I said, that there's too much of too many players with small, I'll say, ticket sizes, which is creating a problem overall. But for me, the interesting part in data center is more coming on my T&D side, where we are seeing inquiries coming in where the data center may get built in 15 to 18 months, but then the lines and the power supply, etc., are becoming challenged in some places, which is why we announced that we got a private order now. We are seeing developers like U.S. also resorting to having their own connectivity, etc. So I think that is also very interesting.
Okay. So we have been pursuing the opportunities in the U.S. For the U.S. data center as well, especially in the T&D segment.
I'm not pursuing for the U.S., but we got some large orders. A lot of inquiries are there, which are from also private developers in U.S. who are supplying to data centers.
Okay. And sir, how about the competition? How is it panning out?
In which area?
In the data center business.
Data center is very difficult. It's very fragmented. It's region-wise and all that. Each region has got different players. So difficult to say who are there. But otherwise, if you look at the bigger players, it would be people like Tata Projects and L&T, etc.
Okay. And sir, what would be the civil TAM if we have to compare? So right now we have got order in the T&D space, right, for data center. How about the TV? How about the civil segment for data centers?
So right now we don't have a single order in data centers. Or we have finished 5 data centers in the last couple of years. We have bid for a few of them, which is why I said that hopefully by next quarter we should at least have a few orders in the civil side on the data centers.
But sir, if you have to quantify, I mean, per mega, or if it's available on a per megawatt basis?
Typically, our size would be around 10 crores per megawatt or something like that.
Okay, sir.
But what mushkil hai, because generally what happens is every developer gives in a different format. So it's difficult to put numbers. You know, each tender has got a different number.
Okay. So my last question is in the Jal Jeevan Mission side. So what is the pending order book currently, and how much of the receivables are stuck over there? So now
we have order book of roughly around 1300 crores or so pending. Gross debtors would be around 800-900 crores. I think 400 or something are due for payment. So we hope that will come in.
Okay, sir. That answers my question. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Hi, Jainam. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Amit Anwani with PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
Good morning.
The first question you did highlighted about the delays in conversion. So just wanted to understand, is it more so with the domestic market or the export market, particularly Middle East? And second, you have highlighted the 2 lakh crore pipeline, 1 lakh crore for T&D and 1 lakh for non-T&D. So within 1 lakh of T&D, how much you are really factoring in from the Middle East market? And third, what is the expected inflow now amid whatever is happening? Because we are already 4-5 months in the financial year. For full year, what is the expectation of inflow? So
Amit, when we talked about delay in conversion, it was primarily the West Asia market. Primarily. Okay. We have bid quite a few projects in Saudi and UAE and Oman. In fact, we are L1 in a few of them. But the conversion is taking its time. It's not that it's unduly delayed, but it is taking time. Okay. But the tender pipeline is there. In fact, now also we saw some new tenders getting announced even yesterday also in the Middle East. So I think we are not worried about it because tenders are getting announced even now. So, you know, there has been some talk saying, will there be scaling down? I don't think there is a scaling down because continuously projects are coming up. So to me, that is the basic thing as far as West Asia is concerned. As far as order, I'll say when you look at the order intake, when we had said 30,000 or so, roughly I'll say 60-65% would be from the T&D market, and I think international is around 9-10,000, right? Yeah, so I think our international expectation was that we'll be between 9-10,000 in terms of order intake. So a significant part of it would obviously come from West Asia.
Right. Second, on the cables business, you have done very strong, and probably few quarters performance has been quite strong. So what's the capacity now, and with Elastomeric, are you seeing the more growth happening? Are you seeing more capex lined up in cables? Because we are seeing other play cables or conductor players have still been front loading the capacity. That is one. And second, any thought on the exports of cables also to the US market, and what are the margins which you are currently making in the cables business?
So typically our exports have been roughly around I'll say 200 crores last year. Okay, and we obviously want to expand the same. Okay, so with the specialty cables coming up, I think by Q4 we should have increase happening in our export market. I don't think we have very large capex programs. We normally have been spending around 75, 80 or maybe 100 crores in cables. Every year, last 3 years, we have spent 300 crores. A large capex will happen if we decide to expand our EHV. which we have been looking at it. So once we see the demand stabilizing, maybe we'll put in a larger capex. Not immediately, could be next year or something, but I think it's still on the drawing board. Otherwise, 50-75 crores we keep on spending, so we may add some, we will definitely, I think, add some capacity on our aluminum conductor side, more specialized products on HTLS, etc. That's the way we are looking at cables. The margins have been okay. I think they are around 5% right now, almost 200 basis points, still below the market. With the specialty cables coming up, I think the margin will start inching up. That's the expectation.
Right. So what's the capacity or probably the peak revenue you can do with the fixtures that you have?
I don't have the capacity in terms of kilometers and all that, but I think we can do around 3,000 crores with the current assets without any more capex.
Right. So lastly, what was the deferment, I would say, or probably you were not able to book it revenue because of the Middle East conflict? And the overall expectation now in terms of the full year growth so I think this will help.
So Amit, full year we are still saying what we had said last quarter, around 12-15% growth should be feasible today. Middle East, I think the number would be around 300 crores or so for the quarter.
Right. And is it like... So that is also probably dragging the growth this year, or this is something which is recoverable in the subsequent quarter?
No, it will definitely be recovered. This is not a product sale that it is lost.
Right.
It's an EPC number, so whatever has not happened in this quarter and what did not happen in Q4 also, ultimately all of that should happen, which is why despite having a flat quarter this quarter, we are still saying that we will maintain our growth.
Right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sudeep Bora with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I wanted to understand on the SAE Towers business. So the current set of fixed assets that we have, so in terms of the revenue potential, how much can we execute in a year? And what is the utilization percentage? Maybe you can throw some light on that.
So I think it's difficult to give a number because it will depend upon what type of product what you make. But broadly, I say around 2,000 crores could be the utilization based on today's fixed assets. But we have been adding a little bit here and there. Okay. So it may go up slightly, but 2,000 is a number which you can take.
Okay.
And the utilization is reasonably okay. I think we are now at almost full capacity. You can always add something by adding extra shifts and all that. But broadly, I think we are at 100% now.
Okay. So the current order book from this particular segment is around 3,800 crores. So that would be delivered in a matter of, say, 1.5 to 2 years, right?
Yes. Typically, in those markets, you get orders much in advance, at least 12 months in advance. Okay. So that's the way it works in the Brazil and the US market.
Okay. Got it. And typically, like, what would be the margins from these this business, the tower manufacturing, SA Towers?
I think SA is close. I think it's almost double digit right now.
Okay, double digit, right, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, and for FY27 on the order inflow guidance, so typically from your T&D, how much are we expecting?
We have said that we should be around 60-65% or either 60-70%. So out of 30,000 crores, if you take it, roughly it would be 20,000 crores. Maybe a little bit here and there.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. Those were my questions.
Thank you, Sudhir.
The next question comes from the line of Arafat with Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on, let's say, if you see the, apart from the Middle East and labor challenges, now we are seeing the labor challenges now sorting out, and Middle East also, let's say, in next couple of months, we will get some clarity on that. So which are the other factors need to watch out in the near future to get back to, let's say, 15% annual growth and EBITDA margin of 8%?
Difficult to say, but these are the two major factors which we are seeing. So once they are out of the way, obviously the margin should improve. Other thing we have always been talking about is that we have got a lot of arbitration and other issues which are going on, in especially on the railway side. Okay, if something really adverse happens, then it could have some impact. But I think to me it's a little bit of a far-fetched. But since you asked a specific question, I'm giving an answer. Otherwise, with West Asia and labor situation getting resolved, I think a large part of the headwinds will go away.
Got it. And the secondly on which are the slow moving projects in railway and water projects? Any sense on that, by when you're expecting this to get out from this project and get back to normalized margin?
So railways, most of the slow moving projects are at 95-97% closure and all that. So it's a question of when the railway gives a block or when they approve the design of the depot, etc. They will get completed. Okay. Water, we only have two states where we are working, MP and Orissa. But Orissa, I think we have got 6 or 7 projects. So all of them might have various stages of completion. Our expectation is that if cash flow happens regularly by this year end, we will have maybe 2 projects still continuing post-March. Otherwise, most of them should get completed within this year.
Got it.
Thank you, Arafat. Thank you.
Yeah. And then lastly, if you can just give the any guidance on working capital days for FY27.
Well, Rajiv, I think we are talking about 110 days for working capital at the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Priyankar Biswas with JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, coming back to this working capital question, so just trying to visualize sort of a roadmap on, let's say, the working capital reduction. So whatever I heard from the call. So first of all, you are going to get, let's say, if not in the next quarter, let's say in the coming 2-3 quarters, at least, let's say, 300 odd crores from Afghanistan, right? That is the first point. And secondly, from the water, what I understand is right now the current dues are 300 to 400 crores. So you should ideally receive that as well. And then there is this inventory build that had happened in West Asia. So there should be some unwinding also. So these are the plus factors that I have. So if you can give a cumulative factor, like taking everything together, what should be the working capital reduction if we take all of this? And then finally also, this JJM still has like 1300 crores of order book left, is what I understand. So in the individual projects, what sort of completion on an average you have got there? And to complete this entire 1300, so to run down this entire 1300 crores of, let's say, orders, what sort of costs would be required? So this is what I wanted to know.
As you rightly said that I think these are some of the, you know, levers that are available with us to reduce the working capital. See, overall reduction, what we are looking at in the current financial year is roughly about 1200 crore rupees debt reduction. So at the beginning of the year, we were at about 6700 crore. And what we are guiding is by March, we should reach to about 5500 crore. So apart from the, you know, two or three levers that you just counted, apart from that, there are, let's say in Saudi, we are closing few projects which were started about two and a half years back. So these projects will also get closed, and then, you know, we will be able to recover at least 50% of the retention money on physical closure. So 50% comes at the time of physical handover, and 50% comes after the 6 months period. So at least the first part of it, we should be able to collect. So these are the, you know, basically largely, and then the another item that we are looking at is in railways, there are few claims which have been decided positively in our favor in debts and arbitration. So we are hoping that, you know, with the intervention of the client and with the client negotiation, etc., we should be able to recover some of the claims. Additionally, we are also looking at closure of all the projects, as Vimal alluded sometime earlier that, you know, we are towards a 90-95% closure of these projects. So we are hoping that these projects will get closed and, you know, we should be able to collect the retention money. So these are the few, let's say, levers which are available with us and which we are confident that we should be able to, let's say, realize and able to reduce our working capital debt to about 5,500 crore.
Sir, for this water-related projects, like the 1,300 crore yeah. order book that you are speaking about, what would be the cost to complete it? So what I'm trying to assess is how much further losses can be there or cash outflows can be there to, let's say, kitchen sink the entire JJM book.
So, as Vimal sometime back said that, you know, these water projects are profitable. The only challenge is that because, you know, we have a large outstanding which is there. So we have deliberately, let's say, slowed down the execution. Although the construction is going on full force, what is happening is that, you know, supply items, we are actually doing it need-based. So depending on the project requirement, we are supplying those items like DI pipes and walls and other things. So those are the items which are, but I think these projects are all profitable and they are, you know, let's say around 8-10% margin at various stages. So I don't see there is any challenge in terms of the cost structure or the, you know, profitability of this project.
Okay, sir. If I may just harp on that. So Afghanistan, you said that in the next couple of quarters, let's say you will get 300 odd crores, right? If I heard it correctly, roughly. Water in, let's say, the next half, like 300-400 crores, you are saying is the current deal. So you should be able to, let's say, recover that. But of course, there would be some new dues also will come over. So what is realistically, like, what should be the collections in water, the net collection? So,
Priyankar, we are expecting, let's say, roughly about 300 to 400 crore for which the cost has already been incurred. So, if what we are hearing from the government is that, you know, water from the Jal Jeevan missions have started getting released. So, if that really happens, you know, then whatever overdues are there, we should be able to collect, that is roughly about 300 to 400 crore. And whatever the next, you know, revenue is happening, we will incur the cost and we will be, let's say, regularizing the collection from the water segment in the remaining part of the year.
Okay, now that is clear. Also, you said about this Saudi Arabia project and let's say the railway claim. So, Saudi Arabia project should lead to how much inflows, rough ballpark, if 50% of the retention comes here, cash in here?
So, we are expecting between between Saudi and some of the projects in the Middle East, I think we should be able to collect easily 300 to 400 crore there. So, that is what we are expecting, because in Saudi, there is a lot of execution which is also happening. So, you know, we will not be, let's say, what our assumption is that with the collection of this 300-400 crore, although the overall retention may not really come down, but there will not be further investment in the at the time of execution of these revenues. So that will ease up the exactly.
And what about the claims in the railway? So how much has been decided with the stability for us?
Claims, we are expecting roughly about 200 crore to realize in this current financial year. We have already, let's say, got the award for about 150-160 crore rupees already. It all depends, you know, how much we are able to negotiate and how much we are able to realize from the customer. So that all depends on that. But our expectation is, let's say, between now and March, we should be able to realize between 150 to 200 crore rupees from the claims.
Okay. Sir, just squeezing one more in. We had heard during the early parts of this West Asia crisis that the GCC governments were probably discussing about, let's say, reducing the amount of retention in T&D projects. So So has any steps been taken in this direction yet, or is it still something that they sometimes talk but not yet implemented?
So Priyanka, we have not seen any reduction happening in the retention amounts, but what is also happening is that there's a little bit of easing of general payment, you know. Like otherwise, if they're paying 70%, you can ask them saying, "Isko thoda bada do." In one case, I know they agreed to pay 95%. In some cases, they change the billing breakups, etc., to allow you to, you know, claim faster on your progress bills. I don't see any major thing, but what we have seen in retention is that the release of retentions has been fast-tracked, not the percentage. The percentage remains 10% in UAE and 20% in Saudi and 30-35% in Kuwait. But at least in Saudi and also Dubai, we have seen that the payments of retention as and when it is due has been actually fast-tracked, much faster than what we had expected them to pay.
Okay. So very well understood. So this may be the levers that can hopefully, let's say, reduce the debt by at least 1,000-1,200 odd crores.
Yeah. I think, Priyanka, if I can summarize what Rajeev said, you know, basically some money from Afghanistan, some money from closed projects, okay, a little bit of reduction in working capital inventory, etc. I think that's you. And if water comes in, when I say water, 400 is beyond the normal payments. See, whatever normal they pay, we are reinvesting in the business. But the outstanding old one, let's say that old one is revolving, but if that's just a 300-400 crores which is there, if that comes in, then that put together, we're talking about 1,000-1,200 crores of debt reduction. Yeah.
Okay. So that was all from my side.
Thanks, Priyanka. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nipur Khemka with CD Equisearch. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So.
Hi, Nipur.
Yeah. Is there some way that you can bring down your net working capital by tinkering, let's say, with the nature or type of the EPC orders will we get? And how willing are you people to do that?
So it's not a question of how willing I am. It will ultimately be a question of whether the client is willing to agree to it. Like, I'll tell you a simple example is we recently negotiated a contract where we told the client that we'll not work with less than 20% advance. Okay? The client has finally, in an exceptional case, agreed. Or the earlier question from Priyanka was on, can you play with retention? So there are places where you're going and talking with the client saying, you know, we don't agree for cash retention. So typically, in some of the private clients, especially on civil, these negotiations are possible. T&D, at least on Power Grid or, you know, Middle East and all that, which are standard tender conditions, there it does not work out. You can always go and negotiate on particular contracts and say, "Ki mere ko iska paisa jaldi chahiye," you know, don't wait for the entire billing to happen, etc., etc. So these are contracts which you need to, obviously, we always ask for the moon, but data kya hai wo, it would depend on the individual client. But I can say one thing is, generally, if you ask me a comment, payment terms are improving. I can say that both in civil, T&D, private, I'm seeing them improving. Power Grid also, in some cases, have now improved, in fact, interest payment advance-free, right? So like interest earlier, Power Grid used to charge interest on advances. Now they have made it interest-free. So, you know, generally, I'm saying I'll make a sweeping statement that we are seeing improvement in payment terms or payment cycle.
Okay. Okay. And how much of your current order book pertains to orders with, let's say, high execution complexity? And in some way, we have some high entry barriers to that?
Very difficult to say high complexity because I know we have got a couple of orders which were on a single negotiation basis because the client felt that no one else can do it. Now, whether it is complexity or difficult to execute, difficult terrain, very difficult to say because most of the orders are still on a tender basis. Okay. So very difficult because it's, and we would have built it the cost and all that in our list. There are not too many entry barriers, if I can say, except for the very large projects. And we have seen entry barriers in the private sector when they are doing where they pick and choose whom they want to give. That's where the entry barriers in a way come in.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, if I may ask, like, we have a current order book of some 40,000 crores. How much of it would be from the Adani Group specifically?
A total, I don't think we give individual numbers, but it will be, I think close to maybe 5% or less as of now.
Close to 5%, sorry?
Yeah. But it would be spread across T&D, railways, civil and all. Okay? Across all the businesses.
Okay. And what was the include last fiscal?
From
this group only. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't have the exact number, but I think we got one HVDC and one, I think we got two or three orders from there. So must be close to 1,000 crore or slightly more than that. Around that number you can take it.
Okay, okay. So not much, not much. Okay, that answers. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Shah with JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So thanks for the follow-up. So only one question, are we guiding anything on margins for this year?
No, not yet.
Okay, but we should see it improving quarter by quarter every quarter now? Or Q2
that,
would be
that,
weaker?
That, at least from Q3 onwards, Q2 given that it will not be that low, but I don't see a significant increase right now happening. See, it will all depend when the war ends, honestly, okay? But I mean, okay. Sir, we are not given a guidance. But yes, you're right that there has to be an improvement.
And for 28, we may see it being better than 26.
100%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor with Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, Vimal ji, and
thank you for the opportunity. बोलिए
थैंक यू सर थैंक यू सर आपने ये जो इन द केबल सेगमेंट सर यू हैव मेंशनड अबाउट सम न्यू प्रोडक्ट इंट्रोडक्शन इन योर इन्वेस्टर डेक जस्ट एक्सप्लेन टू अस व्हाट काइंड ऑफ पोटेंशियल दीज प्रोडक्ट्स हैव एंड देन माय फॉलो अप
देखिए अल्टीमेटली आवर व्यू इज दैट दीज प्रोडक्ट्स शुड ऐड अराउंड 300-400 क्रोर्स ऑफ रेवेन्यू सब मिला के ओके How it pans out is a new product, लेकिन जिस उम्मीद यही है कि इससे 300-400 करोड़ का हमारा नेक्स्ट ईयर में रेवेन्यू बढ़ेगा दैट इज द साइज दीज आर स्पेशलाइज प्रोडक्ट्स यूज फॉर शिप्स एंड ऑल दैट जो सॉफ्ट रबर केबल है ये ट्रीटेड है इसमें दूसरा क्या है सम ऑफ दिस लाइक ईबीएम एटसेट्रा मे नॉट एड टू मच इन रेवेन्यू बट क्या होगा कि उससे आपके इंसुलेशन और सब कम हो जाता है तो योर कॉस्ट विल गो डाउन योर मार्जिन आर सपोज टू इम्प्रूव स्पेशली ऑन योर एलटी एंड एचटी केबल्स
राइट सर तो दीज इलेक्ट्रोमेटिक केबल्स आर फॉर दी शिप बिल्डिंग के लिए जाएगा शिप
कई जगह यूज होता है डेटा सेंटर्स में होता है काफी जगह पे इस्तेमाल होता है जहां पे थोड़ा सा फ्लेक्सिबल वगैरह होता है एंड ऑल दैट नो
सर करेंटली सर मैंने वी आर रनिंग दी केबल एट ऑप्टिमम सो दिस 600 रेवेन्यू कैन इजली बी वी कैन एनुअलाइज इट एट 2,400-2,500 फॉर द ईयर और वी विल हैव हायर नंबर
कुड बी मोर देन दैट मैंने पहले आंसर दिया था आप शायद देने की आवर रेवेन्यू कुड बी अराउंड 3,000 करोड़ लेकिन क्या है साकेत जी उसमें अल्टीमेटली मेटल प्लेज अ रोल आज अगर एल्यूमिनियम 3200 का 2400 हो गया तो ऑब्वियसली पर किलोमीटर प्राइस विल स्टार्ट कमिंग डाउन बट बेस्ड ऑन नंबर्स टूडे आई थिंक वी कैन डू अराउंड 3,000 करोड़ विद द प्रेजेंट कैपेसिटी
ओके सर नाउ कमिंग टू आवर द फाइनेंशियल रिजल्ट आप जिसे बता रहे थे कि सेकेंड क्वार्टर भी में भी कोई बहुत मटेरियल चेंज नहीं दिखेगा बट सर एज इन्वेस्टर्स हम अभी क्या एक्सपेक्ट करें केईसी से गोइंग एट क्योंकि दीज आर नॉट द नंबर्स विच केईसी इज एसोसिएटेड टू ना ये ऑपरेटिंग प्रॉफिट ना ये मार्जिन ये सब एक्सेप्शनल है तो अभी हम जिस फेज में हैं इन टर्म्स ऑफ द एग्जीक्यूशन एज वेल एज द फाइनेंशियल रिजल्ट व्हाट इज द पाथ टू प्रॉफिटेबिलिटी और इम्प्रूवमेंट इन प्रॉफिटेबिलिटी गोइंग अहेड एज पर योर अंडरस्टैंडिंग सर यू आर एट अ लॉन्ग हेल्ड हियर तो ये जो अभी समय चल रहा है इसका और कितना कुप्रभाव रहने वाला है सर हमारे फाइनेंशियल रिजल्ट
तो सागर जी अभी हमने जवाब ये दिया था कि नेक्स्ट ईयर से तो मार्जिन इम्प्रूव होना चाहिए इस क्वार्टर से भी हमने बोला कि आगे नंबर नहीं दिया है बट बोला है कि भाई मार्जिन में इम्प्रूवमेंट तो अभी से तो होगा ही होगा ओके इसमें जो देखिए नेगेटिव दो तीन चीज थी अभी जो हम हेडविंड बोल रहे हैं एक तो लड़ाई का किसी ने उम्मीद नहीं है कि लड़ाई होगी और इतने लंबे चलेगी और इसका वो स्ट्रेट ऑफ हॉर्मोन्स बंद कर देंगे ये कर देंगे दैट वॉज नॉट द एक्सपेक्टेड इम्पैक्ट सो उसका एक मेजर इम्पैक्ट हो रहा है रेवेन्यू पे और ऑर्डर बुक में रोज बात हो रही है आज बंद हो जाएगा कल हो जाएगा होपफुली अगर Q2 में बंद हो गया तो वी विल स्टार्ट सीइंग इम्प्रूवमेंट्स हैपनिंग इन Q3 ऑनवर्ड्स ओके एंड उसमें काफी सारा रीबिल्ड वगैरह की बात हो रही है, तो अगर वो होता है तो देर कुड बी अ टेलविंड कमिंग फ्रॉम ऑर्डर्स इन दैट एरिया. ओके, और नॉर्मली हमने ये देखा है कि लड़ाई के बाद के जो ऑर्डर्स होते हैं उनमें मार्जिन ज्यादा होती है, टिपिकली हमने देखा है, बिकॉज मोस्ट ऑफ देम आर फास्ट ट्रैक एंड वी कैन डू दोज प्रोजेक्ट्स. एक तो ये है. दूसरा, जो हमारा रेलवे में और सिविल में जो भी हमने ऑर्डर बुक लिए थे, और पहले सिविल को 0 से 10,000 करोड़ का ऑर्डर बुक लिए है, तो सम ऑफ द ऑर्डर्स वर ऑब्वियसली एट अ चैलेंजिंग मार्जिन, सो दोज ऑर्डर्स आर नाउ कमिंग टू एन एंड. सो जैसे जैसे आपके पुराने ऑर्डर खत्म होते जाएंगे, नए का रेवेन्यू बढ़ते जाएगा, जो शब्द आपने इस्तेमाल किया ना, कुप्रभाव वगैरह, वो निकलते जाएगा. तो आई थिंक विद बाय द एंड ऑफ दिस ईयर होपफुली वी विल स्टार्ट सीइंग मच मच मोर पॉजिटिव थिंग. द अदर थिंग वॉज ऑन द वर्किंग कैपिटल, जो ईपीसी में ज्यादा ही प्रभाव होता है. राजीव जी ने भी एक्सप्लेन किया आपको कि 1,200 करोड़ हम कम कर देंगे, तो आपको क्या है कि एक एबिटा मार्जिन देखना चाहिए और आपको पीबीटी भी देखना चाहिए. यू विल ऑल्सो स्टार्ट सीइंग पॉजिटिव इम्पैक्ट कमिंग एट द पीबीटी लेवल ऑल्सो. प्लस जैसे जैसे हमारा मिडिल ईस्ट वगैरह का रेवेन्यू बढ़ रहा है, तो हमारा टैक्स रेट और एफिशियंट हो रही है, क्योंकि वहां के टैक्सेस कम है थोड़े. तो जब बाकी लोग 30-35% टैक्स भरते हैं, हमारा 20-22% होता है. तो ओवरऑल मिला के अगर आप पैट वगैरह का इंप्रूवमेंट देखेंगे, तो डेफिनेटली यू विल फाइंड सम इंप्रूवमेंट हैपनिंग.
लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन, दैट वॉज द लास्ट क्वेश्चन फॉर टूडे. आई वुड नाउ लाइक टू हैंड द कॉन्फ्रेंस ओवर टू मिस्टर विमल केजरीवाल फॉर द क्लोजिंग रिमार्क्स.
Thank you everyone for your continued interest. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of KEC International, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.